right, folks, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys have been enjoying the shows the last couple weeks. We've been going on all types of different topics, and updates on thebrowershow.com keep you with every single thing we talk about every day, right up to essentially the purge of the CDC committee yesterday, which is a pretty big deal, and a whole host of other topics. So be sure to follow us on there at thebrowershow.com. Also, the different platforms that we're on, be sure to go on there and like and comment on Rumble, Spotify, Gab, iHeartRadio. We're continually trying to push as much information as we can out there to keep everybody updated every single day. And, you know, I got a few different people that have been asking me all this different stuff out in L.A., you know, because we kind of had a little bit of a different approach and kind of an opinion that I think some people did, because what that entire situation out there is designed to do, if you guys haven't figured this out yet, it's designed to split the narrative again. Either this side or that side. That's the way it is.
You're either with us or you're with the terrorists.
Right. And again, I don't condone any of that violent behavior, nor do I ever condone people flying foreign flags on U.S. soil. In my opinion, I mean, that's an act of war. It always has been for thousands of years. I mean, whenever you're in a battle, one side has a flag, the other side has a flag. What happens when side wins? You either keep your flag up or the other side hoists their flag. Right? It's pretty much a statement of defeat. We beat you. Now it's our land. We won this now. And so seeing a lot of these photos out in, you know, Mexico, or not Mexico, but these Mexican flags flying them in the United States and promoting Mexico, it kind of makes me question a lot. But then you got these hardcore, you know, rhinos now that are absolutely coming unhinged about it. That's all they're focused on. But, I mean, it's pretty much a standard statement. I mean, you know, fly a flag. Iwo Jima is a perfect example. You win the island, you put the flag up. And, you know, for hundreds of years, that's always been a staple. Now, it's interesting about this. Now, it's interesting about this is we've seen the same thing. You know, this is L.A., flying the flag. And, you know, whenever you start flying a flag of another country over U.S. soil, I think everyone should be pretty irritated about it, right? I would. I think so. I think we all agree on that. If you're a true American patriot, it should get you pretty irritated when you see that.
Well, they should just go back to Mexico.
Well, that's my point. Go back to the country. If your allegiance is to a different country, that's okay. Nobody's mad about that. Just go back to that country and swear your allegiance to them. I mean, you know, and then this is always the funny one. The same rhinos that are mad about it. Oh, that's Congress. Oh. Well, how'd that photo get there?
You must have slipped on
that. I must have slipped on that one, guys. Sorry. I forgot. Putting a flag over U.S. soil is an act of war.
An act of dominance.
Act of dominance is the country has essentially defeated you. Anyways, I'm going to leave it at that one. But other than that, lots of updated stuff on thebrowershow.com. So I hope you guys are ready for a wild show today, because I'm in a mood. And we got a lot of topics to cover, including the fact that, you know, the FDA and their infinite insanity, and Dr. RFK Jr. is going wild on this. The FDA approves the first lab-grown salmon based solely off the manufacturer's safety claims. No testing, no trials, no research on long-term health.
Lab-grown
salmon. This isn't even
real fish.
This is worse than the stuff they did as far as with the GMO salmons, where they came up with those genetically modified salmon, but they were still actually fish. This is FDA says they understood from wild type's own safety testing, the company had concluded the food compromised of or containing the cultured cellular material made by the company's production process was as safe as comparable food produced by other methods. Approved. So what happens long term when human beings eat this? Well, we don't know. How are we supposed to know that? It's lab-grown meat. It's a mystery box when you eat it. The San Francisco-based ag tech startup Wild Type Foods won the approval from the FDA for lab-cultivated salmon last month. The company, backed by Bezos Expeditions, agricultural giant Cargill, and many others, is selling its lab-grown sushi-grade fish at an award-winning restaurant in Portland, Oregon now. This is their fourth lab-grown meat that they've gotten permission to sell in the United States. Upside meat, good meat, and chicken growth in a lab is another one from animal cells. Unlike chicken and beef, which must be approved for sale by the USDA, cultivated seafood doesn't need approval by the USDA. The FDA is the only authority for wild type. As approval letter, the FDA said it understood from wild type's own safety testing that the company concluded the food comprised of containing a cultured cell material was as safe and comparable as any other foods by this method. It's like they're trying to kill everybody.
It's not trying. They are.
Jeez. I mean, lab-grown salmon?
Well, you know, here, let's think for this for a second. Sure, they're saying that this is safe as any other type of meat grown by the
staff. That doesn't mean anything.
It means basically they got something approved one time.
One time.
So now they can approve everything based on that one thing. That's like, well, everybody didn't die with the COVID shots, so we're going to have more COVID shots down. We're going to have more
mRNA
vaccines.
Perfect example.
Yeah.
So RNA gene therapy is safe and effective now because it got approved for COVID.
Yeah, so now we can put it on the shot schedule and give it to children and everything else. In fact, Karen Kingston had an interesting article, and she said that basically who's calling the shots of the HHS? Now, you know, yesterday we covered this in detail about how he covered the entire advisory board for the vaccine.
CDC wiped them out, yeah.
Yeah, at CDC. But who's calling the shots at HHS? Both Maha and the biopharma industry were confused by RFK's announcement that the CDC has stopped recommending COVID shots for healthy adults and children. Okay. But then it goes on to say that Jeff Dornick, Matt Crouch, and I discussed why Maha and the biopharmaceutical industry were confused by the announcement the CDC has now stopped recommending these shots. We dig deep into how the mRNA nanoparticle industry, now it's the nanoparticle industry.
There you go, nanoparticle industry, yep.
Now, how DARPA converted nanotechnology weapons to the multi-trillion-dollar healthcare sector and who's calling the shots. You know, so what's interesting about this is now, of course, this was written, this interview took place before he threw out the whole people from the CDC as far as the advisory board. So, you know, it's interesting to me because Medicaid is still providing reimbursement for the COVID shots, Austin, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
Secretary Kennedy did not mention that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and other insurance providers would continue to cover the COVID shots for all patients. Since the FDA did not revoke the authorization for children under the age of 12 or revoke the FDA's approvals, nothing has changed in regard to the U.S. residents having access to getting the shots. Doctors who are pro-COVID shots can still push the shots to their patients and still be reimbursed. I mean, here's the thing: we just want to know who's really calling the shots at the HHS. So I really, really like the fact that he's come in here now and got rid of that advisory board, right? You know what I'm saying?
Listen to this: wild types fish is made from cultured cells of living salmon. So they take cells from salmon, then they cultivate it in steel vats, where the tissue is fed a proprietary cell nutrient blend.
What does that mean?
According to the pre-market safety consultation summary submitted to the FDA, a proprietary cell nutrient blend.
This reminds me of Soylent Green. Have you ever heard ever watched that movie with Charlton Heston? And they start taking human beings and putting them to vats and turning them into cellular food and making wafers out of them and feeding it to people. And that was the big food source for the people, where basically they were eating each other in Soylent Green. It was a show that came out like 50 years ago with Charlton Heston. The crazy part about all this is that where we are now, Austin? We're growing food in vats with a proprietary culture?
This makes it better. The salmon itself, read this, is made from water and other undisclosed ingredients. Undisclosed ingredients.
Well,
the cells are harvested, then put on a plant-based scaffold to help replicate the texture of the salmon. The details of the proprietary methods for making the cells grow and testing them are not available to public. The company doesn't divulge what it uses to give the salmon its pink color. This stuff's like, we're going to blend it up in a vat. We're not going to tell you what we put in it. We're not going to tell you how we harvest these cell tissues. And you can't ask what we feed these cells either, but it's generally recognized as safe.
Well, remember, a lot of these companies, and I'm not saying this one in particular, but some of these companies are using cancer cell tissue.
I've heard that. I don't know if they're doing that. I'm not making any claims. But
cancer cells.
Yeah.
Because they want to have the ability.
Like a tumor.
Whether it's tumor meat. It's because tumors start growing, you know, exponentially.
And correct.
So they want to make this grow exponentially.
Well, that's been the discussion of that process, is how do you get tissue to grow in a lab that quickly like this to harvest meat? You have to essentially use some type of, like, cancer-like cells.
You know what's interesting about this? You know, we did a big show last week on cloning.
Yeah.
Remember that? So that's almost what they're doing here.
Oh, yeah. That's almost exactly what they're doing. But it's for us to eat.
They're not taking eggs and doing it. They're taking cells and doing it, which is the same thing to do with cloning. So they're basically cloning the fish, but they're not telling us how they harvested the fish as far as what's in it and how they make it grow.
Or what's the ingredients or what they're feeding the tissue.
I mean, how do we know it's not, you know, human cells are feeding it?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, it says it doesn't say.
How do you know? Okay, here's the next question. They're feeding a proprietary cell nutrient blend to make it grow like almost exponentially, right? How do we know the ingredients they're putting in the salmon isn't going to cause cancer to grow exponentially in the body when you start ingesting it?
We don't know. They won't tell us.
They won't tell us.
But they said it was safe. The FDA
said it's safe. I don't know why I brought this topic up. We should just trust everything. Trust everything.
You said something a few minutes ago. You said they're trying to kill us all.
You know, if I was just, I don't know, I'm just sitting there looking, I'm like, what is the, okay, if they came out and they gave everybody the entire platform and they said, this is how we're culturing it, this is what we're feeding it, this is the ingredients we're putting in it, this is what we're making it out of, here's the entire process, step to finish it, everything, and we've tested it for the last 10 years, I'd be like, I'm still not going to eat it, but thanks for being transparent. This is like the absolute opposite of transparent. There's no transparency with this, but it's safe and effective. Kind of like they told us they did 90-day trials on RNA gene therapy, and it was safe and effective without any type of long-term research.
Oh, it had long-term research. DARPA did it 25 years ago.
Kind of like they're trying to kill us.
And, you know,
what a time to be alive.
You know, I mean, if you think about it, the ingredients list on the mRNA vaccine was blank.
There you go. Undisclosed.
The ingredients list on this thing is blank.
What they're going to do is they're going to put on the packaging. It's probably going to be like water, meat, something. They're going to list an ingredient list to make it to market. But what they're actually putting to make the salmon's undisclosed. And because they're growing tissue, they probably don't have to put everything on there.
You know, we try never to put proprietary blend on our products. We try not to do that. We tell you exactly what's in it.
Everything in that box is in that box right there, broken down all the way to the exact ingredient that's in it.
Yeah.
I don't like proprietary blends. I don't like stuff where it's got 500 milligrams of this, and then you got a whole laundry list of stuff they add in there. It's one thing if you got, okay, it's 100 milligrams, it's this and this. Got it. Okay. You're breaking it down there together. But those proprietary blends, anybody that hides behind those, in most cases, the product's heavily compromised or doesn't have what's in the claim that's in it. I've seen so many formulas do that crap. 1,800 milligrams. And it's got all these cool ingredients. You look at them, you're like, gosh, this has like everything in the kitchen sink. Remember, there was a study. Those guys did. I forgot what company it was, but they did that, and they found that a lot of the ingredients were like 2 and 3 milligrams. Did they have this proprietary?
No, they had picograms.
Well, right? No, that company. They tried to get us on board.
They tried to get us on board to start marketing their product for them for Africa.
Yeah,
and basically we had the whole thing analyzed. We had it basically taken in and broken down, and it was primarily silica. It was primarily sand.
It was, and that's why everybody loves the purple sticks so much, because we break it down and give you what's in the product, and we deal with all of our ingredients. And by the way, you guys voted, and it won product of the week, the D3-10,000K2.
Everybody loves that product.
Everybody loves it. Well, everybody, once you start taking it, I'm not making claims, but you don't really ever get sick.
You stay healthy all the time. That sounds better to me,
I guess. He worded that much better than I did. I've had too many purple sticks this morning. But no, so that's on sale. That'll be going up probably later on this afternoon, because it's Wednesday, and products of the week change in the afternoon for you guys. So be sure, if you want to grab any bottles of this, we're going to be doing, I think, probably like 15 or 20% off maybe. I'm going to do a big sale on it.
Whoa.
Got a big batch in right now. And so, again, stay updated. If you guys need any updates, make sure you're signing up on thebrowershow.com. Put your name, your email. You can join for the Brower Show updates and the Health Masters updates. I would do both of them, so you'll get the sales, the specials, the product of the week, the kits, and the updated Brower Show every single day right to your email.
Oh, by the way, thousands are now gathering in San Francisco for an epic battle against ICE agents. So San Francisco.
Notice, and I have an epic battle against the Marine Corps.
Well, the Marine Corps now, we know, just being in the guard federal buildings.
They can't cut them loose on civilians, man. That just goes bad.
No, and an estimated 9,000 protesters have gathered for a rally and have marched and started a San Francisco's 24th Mission BART Plaza to protest the recent raids carried out by the ICE. You know, I mean, unbelievable. All right, rang out on Mission Street along with a chant like, move ICE, get out of the way. They don't say move Marines, get out of the way.
No, don't notice that.
Echoing through the crowd to a nod, protesters rode through on scooters and skates, and some draped in kifs, others wearing face masks covering themselves up, which is actually very smart, honestly, and clothing scrawled with anti-fascist messages. Many were waving upside-down American flags and cardboard posters bearing anti-ICE slogans, galvanized by the mounting unrest across California and large-scale demonstrations in Los Angeles, where after 3 days of protest, President Donald Trump authorized the deployment of 700 Marines and over 4,000 National Guard troops, bypassing Governor Newsom's authority. Bay Area residents took to the streets in a show of solidarity, advocating for the immigrants of all nationalities, ethnicities, and creed. And then the article says, I am the son of migrants, immigrants from Mexico, excuse me, and I'm from L.A., Albert Ponce, a protester and East Bay resident, told San Francisco Gate. L.A. is the epicenter right now in the struggle against fascism. I bet he didn't know what fascism is. And you know, and the sad part about it is these guys get this rhetoric going, and they start getting all wrapped up in it, and suddenly they start spewing things that they have no idea what they're talking about. I told you that time we were in Greece, and Trump had just won the elections back in 2016, 2017. We were getting off an airplane. There was a Clemson cheerleader with her mom. And me and Sharon were there, and Harrison was there, and a Clemson cheerleader with her mom. And she was like Hillary.
Hillary, the witch of Benghazi.
I'm pretty sure she was like wearing a Clinton shirt. And I said to her, I said, well,
how can you possibly promote the witch of Benghazi? Like, I mean, you know what she did.
But they don't know what she did, Austin. They don't know.
Go watch 13 Hours, get an eye full of that.
But they don't know.
That's true. Or they don't believe it. They don't want to believe it.
Then she starts screaming that Trump was a Nazi and Trump was a fascist.
Fascist, yeah.
And I asked her, I said, why? Well, why is he fascist?
Because he is.
Well, yes. Then she started like, you know, drooling, screaming, and yelling, turned red face with hysteria. Her mom's looking at me like this, like, oh, I can't help this. And it's the programming that she got from being in a liberal university. Because that's what she heard her friends say.
Well, the liberal think tanks.
She could not tell me one reason she thought Trump was a fascist. And I said, if you want to say that, that's okay. I don't really care. It's your right. Freedom of speech. I said, but tell me why you feel that way.
Right. Explain.
Yeah.
You know, have a standpoint.
By the way, that's also true with Christianity. You know, if somebody asks you why you're a Christian, you need to be able to tell them why.
That's a fact.
You need to explain to them, why am I a Christian? Why should you be a Christian? Instead of going, I don't know, I read about it one time. No, don't know. No. I've covered it in detail so many times what being a Christian is. Talk to them about that. I haven't watched a particular show on what we did on this topic. But it's very, very important that we understand that if you've got a set of beliefs that you basically espouse and you really want to promote those beliefs to other people, you have to understand the beliefs.
And in order to have a conviction, you have to have a knowledge. You can't sit there, so I believe this, I'm convicted about this. Well, why? Well, because I am. The same is why we do so much on the health topics. I try to give you guys continual information and ammunition in the health world. If you say, you know, it's probably really not a good idea to be using, you know, soybean oil. Why? Well, soybean oil is an omega 6 fatty acid. It's unbelievably inflammatory. Soybean oil can increase estrogen levels in men. It's not healthy for the body. It's not healthy. It's a lubricant for wheels they used to use back in the day. Probably shouldn't eat it. Oh, that's interesting. I'll do more research on it. You got to be able to stand up and have a reason why you believe something. That's been the biggest thing that I've laughed so much with these anti-everybody.
Well, you know, you say something else about soybean oil or any other kind of omega-6 oil. The reality is that people don't know what they do. Now, you said, you tell them, well, it's a lubricant. You know, canola oil, Canadian oil factory.
Right.
It's from the rapeseed plant. It's extremely poisonous. They have to detoxify it in order to be able to use it
like
for human
hexane
beings,
or something.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it's unbelievably toxic. And you go, okay, great. I'll do more research. Most people don't do that.
That's true.
He goes straight over their head. And they never ask a question. They look at you and they give you that blank stare. And you look at them like, do you want to know more? But they don't answer you. They sit there with their mouth open. They're going,
you'll know somebody's serious in this day and age. This is the way you kind of look at it, is when somebody starts asking a question, you answer, and they go, hold on a second. Let me put my phone out. Let me look that up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. I'm saying that's a bookmark.
Have you ever seen a calf at a new gate? Like in the pasture?
Yeah.
They kind of, no idea what it is. They kind of look at the gate like, what are you talking about? And see, that's when you know that a person's really interested. I say to them, I've written a bunch of books. I wrote a book on vaccines. I wrote a whole article on aspartame, a bunch of other articles. And they go, oh, what's the name of the article? Let me look it up. Oh, what's your name? Let me look up your books. Oh, let me try to find out more about vaccines. Oh, aspartame is bad? Yeah, it causes brain cancer, brain seizures, optic nerve degradation. It contains methyl alcohol. It's a neurological poison. Cannot be made non-poisonous. Oh, well, I need to know more about that. Where can I get more research? And they look it up. Instead of just, because I guarantee you, if they walk away and they don't look it up to start with, 10 minutes later, they'll forget they ever spoke to you
about it.
And he'll never look it up.
And the thing, too, that I think is valid is because, you know, there's stuff that Ted and I learn, Dad and I learn all the time. And when we look at stuff, it's not, you know, sometimes I'll meet people and they have a better knowledge base on a certain topic. And I'm like, that's interesting. That kind of changes my perspective on that a little bit, hearing it from your perspective. Being able to look at both sides of a story and understand.
Scott Fitzgerald.
Both narratives to it. Okay, well, this is why they feel that way. I get some of the reasons why, like we brought up yesterday, why a lot of individuals that are down there at the southern border in California came here. Why, when you put the Krispy Kreme hot donut light on, say, come here, everything's free, come to our country. I don't see why anybody wouldn't do it. Then you start seeing the behavior patterns and shooting at ICE officers and throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails. That behavior is completely unacceptable. But you look at the other side of what's going on. Well, why is this stuff being done? Is it in order to cause more chaos? You've got to look at both sides. This is why I've always had such an issue with the topic of I believe this and I believe this, but you're not allowed to talk about, criticize, question anything this one Middle Eastern country does over there at all, ever. Well, why are they doing it? Nope. They're our greatest ally. Okay, that's cool. Why? Why are they our greatest ally? Because they are. You can't say anything bad about them. Okay. So are we...
How many times have they sent aid over to our country? We've had massive hurricanes.
How many times do you see them fly the American flag all through their area where they
vote? I'll say one thing. You try to proselytize in Israel, they'll beat the crap out of you and tell you off to jail.
They'll kill you if they want to.
I'm talking proselytize to try to convert to Christianity.
Right, and I've asked multiple people, like the individuals that come at me and say, you're not allowed to say anything negative. It's anti-Semitic. I said, well, can I ask a question? Why did they greenlight the Lavender AI program to take up to 100 civilian deaths is acceptable on any drone strike if it's an alleged Hamas-suspected individual? Well, it's because it's Hamas. Okay, cool. So at what point in time do we stop, do we put a cap, or do we not put a cap on allowing AI drones to operate autonomously to kill civilians because they have one individual that they're trying to get? I'm at that. That's a question. At what cap? Do we put it at 100 civilians, 500 civilians, 1,000 civilians? At what point in time do you start saying AI probably doesn't need to have open access to Reaper drones and be able to do drone strikes at will without any human being intervention? At what point in time? Well, it doesn't matter. You can't question what they're doing. Okay. So if the United States starts doing drone strikes with AI autonomous drones in the United States, we're just supposed to accept that too? Well, no, that's crazy. We'd never do that.
You can't talk about it.
Can't talk about
sacred,
that.
Sacred cow.
Right. So again, this is why Dad and I bring up so many different topics, and I bring you this side and this side. This is why I like to discuss it. This is why I bring things up. Like yesterday, I brought up what was going on with this RSV shot with newborns. Well, now it's coming out. Now that the clinical trials for the RSV shot for newborns. And by the way, this RSV shot is going to be attached to the Hep B, the vitamin K, and now the RSV shot. They want to do it right out of the womb.
You've got to be kidding me.
Right out of the womb, infant, RSV shot. It's for their safety and protection. 11.7 rate of serious adverse events in the clinical trials. Almost 12%.
FDA greenlights it. What is
serious,
wrong with them?
Serious adverse events. Goes on to say here, Bedford First is approved now. It's going to generate $1.8 billion in sales first year.
Here we go.
They're saying now shot that essentially schedule. The shot reduced RSV-related hospitalization by 84% compared to the placebo, and the incident of RSV needed to be medically attended 60% versus the placebo. Now, here's the crazy part about this, and this is why I always question when you see these numbers, is how they actually achieve them. Do you remember when the COVID shot came out and they said it's 96% effective against COVID?
Well, that's, wow, that's really impressive, to be honest with you.
So it stops you from getting COVID. No. It doesn't stop you from getting COVID. Oh, okay. So it's 97% effective against preventing me from spreading COVID. No. It doesn't go there. It's 90% effective against serious COVID illnesses in the hospital. What the heck is that supposed to mean? How'd you even measure that? Oh, by the way, we've revised the numbers. It's 82% now. Next month, we've revised that. It's 60% now. Next month, it's 40%. Do you remember that? The numbers kept going down, down, down. Everybody goes, okay, well, what did this shot even do? You guys can't even tell us what it did. Oh, well, it doesn't stop you from getting it. It doesn't stop you from spreading it. It just reduces the severe illness when you're in the hospital.
And then they come later and say, it doesn't do that either.
And they said, it doesn't do that either. So when you see these numbers like this, and it says Children Health Defense Research said the trial showed a serious adverse event rate of 11.71%. 50% greater chance of death 3 deaths in the group that received the shot versus 1 in the placebo, 350% greater chance of upper respiratory tract infection after the shot, 63% greater chance of lower respiratory tract infection, and 41% chance of febrile convulsion. So my question is, what does this shot do that you're giving a baby that just came out of the womb? And the answer is,
it kills them, basically, is what it does.
Basically, it's causing issues. Yeah. 350% increase in upper respiratory tract infection. I mean, a bunch of the kids got upper respiratory tract infection.
Well, yeah, I thought it was supposed to stop the RSV.
That's right. But, yeah, they're getting it after the shot.
I mean, newborns.
Newborns.
Massively increases the risk of sudden infant death.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're probably not even counting that.
This whole thing is a debacle.
Well, it's always a debacle with vaccines.
But newborns?
You
infants?
Know, you know, the thing about vaccines are, you know, the concept of a vaccine, you take part of a dead virus or whatever it is, and you put it into a syringe, you inject it in your body, and you produce antibodies against it. But because it's dead, basically, it doesn't affect you, but your body builds an immune system against it. The problem with that is that when you start giving them 76 shots like that, and you have all the adjuvants involved, the body's immune system gets exhausted, Austin, because it's constantly putting antibiotics out. You know, you can't do that.
The problem with it is an infant doesn't have the ability to produce antibodies.
I know.
All you got to do is a short research study. You'll find really quick that
mother's breast milk
produces that. You inject RSV into the baby or gene therapy, whatever they're mixing this with. I wonder if this is a gene therapy shot.
Oh, it is.
Is it?
I guarantee it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's you do this, and all of a sudden you go, oh, yeah, it's safe and effective. How's it safe and effective? You can't even measure the ability for the child to produce antibodies
and
for
what's
this.
What's it going to do long-term-wise on reproductive ability of that child?
There you go.
We've already seen the problems associated with the COVID shot causing it to attack the ovaries and attack the doggone testicles. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it, you know, it causes umbilical cords to detach. It causes placentas to detach. All these women were miscarrying after the shot. But I mean, again, it's part of this group of people that run the planet that hate us, and they basically want to destroy us, like Austin said. Are they trying to kill us? The answer is yes. That's the number one goal they have here, Austin, is reducing the population of the planet. Their stated goals are 500 million people. They want to kill 7.5 billion people. And they injected 5 billion people with the RNA shot with COVID. And so we haven't seen the blowback from that yet. That's going to be huge. By the way, it's funny to me. You know, Biden can stumble through, you know, sentences. He can get on the platform and appear to use the bathroom, get hauled off, you know. He can basically not know which way he's going, not be able to walk off the platform. And nobody really wants to talk much about it in the mainstream media. However, Donald Trump's got a knee brace now. And so they're all going nuts that Donald Trump's wearing a knee brace.
He walks a lot. I will say that. That man's all over the place.
He's a big guy, too. It says fresh health sparks, you know, as Donald Trump's hidden leg brace is spotted. Images of Donald Trump looking over a construction project at the White House Rose Garden have sparked fresh speculation about his health as the internet sleuths claim that they've spotted something unusual. I mean, you know, he's wearing a hidden leg brace. Okay, here's a little news flash for you. When I used to work real heavy legs, and I used to do heavy squats, which I wish I never had done, I used to wear a leg brace, a knee brace, when I did the squats, Austin, to support my joints. What the heck's a big deal if you're wearing a knee brace or a knee bracket? I mean, there's millions of people wearing it. You can go by the local grocery store, the local, you know, pharmacy place, and they'll give you a doggone elastic wrap you can put on your knee.
Yeah.
I mean, it's silly. And I'm not recommending you to use all those things all the time. Sometimes they're not necessary. But the point is, why are they making such a big deal about Donald Trump wearing a knee brace or a leg brace? It's silliness, isn't it?
No, because they got to keep up the big orange man narrative. That's what they do. They got to find something to complain about with it.
Well, that way they can continue to figure out some other way to put him down, whatever he's trying to do down.
That's exactly right. Well, yeah, he's doing this wrong because he's wearing a knee brace. Get out of here.
Oh, by the way, here's an interesting article. It says, why men with broken heart syndrome are more likely to die. I thought this is like if your spouse dies. And it's very interesting. A 59-year-old man arrived at Peking University Hospital in Beijing for a procedure where he started having severe chest pains and shortness of breath. 4 months earlier, he had cancerous tumors removed from his bladder. Around his family, tried his best to appear strong and avoid discussions. Privately, his severe anxiety over the possibility of cancer reoccurrence kept him awake at night. Doctors said the man was experiencing Takot Subo cardiomyopathy, which is known as a broken heart syndrome. They had to give it a name, didn't they, Austin?
Yep.
And it documented a 2021 case. The rare stress-induced heart condition is observed primarily in women, but a study published in the Journal of the American Heart Association may found that illness may be more deadly for men who get it. Thought to be caused by extreme emotional or physical events, such as learning about the death of a loved one, winning the lottery, or lifting a heavy sofa.
The lottery.
This occurs when the heart muscle is flooded with stress hormones, causing part of it to freeze in place as the heart struggles to properly pump blood. Symptoms resemble those of a heart attack, including chest pain, heart palpitations, and irregular heartbeat. The new study analyzed from nearly 200,000 patients hospitalized for TC in the United States between 2016 and 2020. And it's interesting to me, you die of broken heart syndrome. Now, I'm going to say something. This is very, very important. What we have to learn is that from a stress standpoint, the Bible tells us who by worrying can add a single moment to their life. Who can do that? Who could say, I'm going to worry and worry and worry and worry about this, and I'm going to add more time to my life?
That's a fact.
It doesn't work that way. All you do is stress yourself out. You elevate cortisol. You decrease stomach acid. You decrease your ability to digest food properly. You decrease your ability to have antioxidants in your blood. And you decrease your ability to slow down the aging process. You start getting old really, really fast. You see it all the time. A guy is 70 years old or 80 years old and his wife dies. Or the husband dies and the wife dies. You know, within a couple of months, the person next to them, the closest person to them, dies.
It happens
all the time. We had a guy named James Joe down the street here from us about, oh, God, this is 30 years ago, I guess. And Joe was a great guy. Very, very, very active. Everything else went out and was picking fruit. I mean, all kinds of neat things in his 80s. And all of a sudden, his wife just drops dead. It was 90 days, Austin. They found him dead.
I know. I remember that. It was sad.
It was horrible. He was a good dude. Because you basically die of a broken heart. You die because you get so sad. You die because you stop eating. You die because you stop drinking water. You die because you don't have any future plans with anybody else. You can't do that. Don't allow yourself to fall into a trap and basically stop living because somebody else is no longer here. You know, when Sharon died 3 years ago, I mean, we were all devastated. The whole family was devastated. But within 10 days, we were back on the air. I told Austin, I said, I can't do this. We've got to get back on the air. I can't just be this down and this depressed like this. I can't live like this. I've got to have a future. I've got to have a hope. I've got to have the ability to move forward with my life. And I was still grieving, and I did for close to 2 years, I mean, incredibly. But the point is, you can't just stop and freeze yourself in time and say, I can't go on, I can't do this. Don't allow yourself to do that. If you get a child that gets mad at you or whatever, and they decide not to talk to you anymore, which is very common, or you get a, you know, or a relative or anybody else, at that point in time, just don't sit there and dwell on it. Say, well, hopefully someday they'll talk to me again. Oh, well, I'm going to go on with my life. I talked to a pastor years ago, Austin, and he had a big church.
Yes.
And he gave me some good advice, about the only good advice this guy gave me. And I asked him, he and I knew this other couple of pastors that we knew. They had this huge mega church. And I said, what's so-and-so doing now? Or so-and-so, what are they doing now? He goes, I don't know. I don't pay attention to what they're doing. Yeah, I focus on what I'm doing, and I stay in my lane.
I've told you that before.
Yeah. And so I want to focus on what I'm doing. I stay in my lane. Whatever they want to do is up to them, and I'm simply not going to be involved with that, and I don't care what they do.
That's what I said before. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, you know about so-and-so in their marriage. I'm like, no, I really don't care. It's not my problem. They haven't brought it to me or asked me about it. You know, so-and-so's doing this. I genuinely don't care. You shouldn't care either. If it's something they haven't brought up to your attention personally, firsthand, asking you for support or help or advice, why in the world is it my problem? You know, one of my good buddies, he's got, you know, he flies too. You know, I mean, he does a bunch of stuff as far as with car loans. And he told me one time we were talking about something. He's like, bro, I don't need to know what you're doing every day. You don't need to tell me this. He goes, I don't really care. He goes, I'm busy. You're busy. He goes, you need something? Call me. I need you. I call you. He goes, none of us should be concerned about what our day-to-day lives do and what all these things happen. He goes, everybody's got to live in their own lane. He said, the problem is you only have so much bandwidth you can put out every day. You only do so many things. You focus on so many different things. He goes, so you got to pick and choose what are going to be the most productive, the most successful, the most ideal things for you to focus on and get through the day and work on different things. Because what happens is now, especially with social media, and I'm going to say this really clear, guys, social media has caused people to become so distracted with other people's lives. It's insane. Everybody's concerned about what John's doing and what Jill's doing and what Joe's doing and what Robert's doing, what everybody else is doing, that people are even forgetting what they're actually doing. They're so concerned about what everybody else did, or they got a screen TV, or they went on a vacation, or they did this. It's like you're more, and I've said this to people before, when they're on like constant social media, I ask them, I said, why are you more concerned about everybody else's life and what they're doing than you are your own life? Why are you more concerned about what's going on here or in some other country? I mean, I remember that whole first thing started in Ukraine. It was insane to me. I mean, putting flags up in their yard. Blah, blah, blah. I stand with Ukraine. I'm like, how about you stand with, I don't know, the United States? Gosh, that's a crazy concept. Why don't you be a patriot, support the country that you work in, that you live in, that you're probably going to die in, that you're still here with, that you were born in? Why in the world do you care what's going on in another country because CNN told you to care about it? That is one of the biggest things they've done with mind control, the manipulation of the mind, is they get you to stay distracted on everything else than what's actually important in your life.
That's what the devil always does, isn't it?
Right.
Exactly.
And let's not think about things of God anymore. Let's think about the things of this world.
All these distractions.
Yeah. You know,
let's not worry about that.
But no, it's true. I mean, and then you get, I have a brother, and he's still angry that my dad and his mom got divorced.
Right.
And I talked to him about it, and he gets red-faced with hysteria, like so angry. And I'm like, dude, man, they're all gone.
Now my grandma's been dead. Yeah, your dad's gone.
My dad's been dead for 40 years. I said, why are you still angry about this? Why are you mad about this? You know, I said, this is horrible. I looked at him. I said, all the actors on that stage that did all of these perceived wrongs to you, they basically are gone. And so you sitting here being angry about this doesn't make any sense to anybody because, you know, what good does it do you to be mad about something that happened 50 years ago or 60 years ago? And you know, you think about it for a second. And this is my little acid test. You know, I used to get pretty uptight about stupid little stuff when I was younger. I really did. I think we all do that.
You?
Yeah,
no.
And, you know, now what I do, instead of getting upset about things, I think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give this the 5-year test. Will this really matter in 5 years? And I remember one time I had this thing with, I had a bunch of publishers that were awful. And what happened is, I remember I was talking to one of the guys who used to work for one of these publishers. And here's what he said to me. He says, Ted, he goes, here's the problem that I've learned over the years. Because a lot of times when you burn bridges, you've got to go back across that bridge later.
Exactly right.
And he goes, it's best just to go ahead and walk away from it, not make a big deal about it, and realize that in some point you might have to actually do business with one of these people again, and there's no point in burning the bridge. And I thought about, when he said that, I thought, that's some good advice.
Well, a 5-year test is a long one. A lot of times you can just do the 5-day test.
Doesn't matter.
Let something cool down, see what it's going to do next week. Let's just let everything settle, let the smoke settle, let the fog of war get out of everybody's face and say, let's address this back on Monday.
Well, and you know, another thing that I always try to do, let's say you got a friend. I had this happen years ago. I had a friend of mine who basically, I've known him for over 40 years, and I remember he ended up getting divorced.
Yeah.
And he got unbelievably depressed.
Yep.
And he started making these really bad decisions, and he started acting like a real idiot.
Yeah.
And he started being really mean to me.
Yeah.
Okay? But I had known him for 40 years. And so for 39 years of our friendship, it was an A.
Right.
If you gave it a grade. Well, the 1 year was an F. I mean, like an F minus. It was horrible. But it doesn't matter.
The 40 years are an F then.
If you have 39 years of A's and one year of zero, it's still like a good solid A. And the thing about it is people don't realize that, you know, you don't blow off a friendship because somebody's having a bad week or a bad day or a bad month or a bad year.
Even a bad year, yeah.
You know,
sometimes people go through stuff. You know, one of my good buddies told me a long time ago, goes, you can't ever sit there and truly judge someone until you've walked in their shoes and seen what they've seen and done what they've done and have to handle and address it. And that's the doggone truth. And so that's why, again, I try to give everybody the stuff we talk about here. We give you real information, stuff that you can change in your life to become more healthy and better shape, have better engagements as far as be able to continue to make things better and give you guys updated news. That's what we're going to do on the show and try to make it as light as we can. And news, this just came through here. The China deal is done. 55% tariffs on Beijing, and the U.S. gets 10% tariffs. They have a done deal now with China. They said the relationship is excellent. We are getting a total of 55% tariffs. China is getting 10%. Essentially, they finalized it today. So the markets can just calm their little butts down now with this whole thing.
I'm sure they'll explode and go back up again.
I'm sure they'll
start. Okay, so what's happening is, so the people that are sending stuff in from China have to pay a 55% tariff.
Yep.
And then they have to pay, we pay 10% of what we send back to them.
Yep. So that's what they came up with. I mean, that's pretty good. Yeah, I was about to say, it's better than it was.
Yeah.
Heck of a lot better than it was. And then we got away from this 150% tariff nonsense. That was pretty insane. What this is going to do at this mid-range, though, at 55%, it's still going to encourage more growth here in the United States, though, as far as with production with some stuff.
Well, you know, the United States used to be the manufacturing capital.
Oh, I know. We made everything.
We talked about this before. Henry Ford had his big plant that he had up, I think it was in Dearborn. He actually would bring in sand in trucks.
Rubber trees.
And have them stacked out in front and he'd have like steel ore.
He made all the material.
And he made everything. He made his own windshields for this Model T. And so he didn't have to worry about suppliers.
No.
He just had raw material. He had to make sure he got raw material.
Yep.
I mean, he had rubber tree plantations in South America.
Yeah.
He's bringing in so much stuff all the time. And so we have the ability to do that. There's a really good line. It's in Ford versus Ferrari. And it's Henry Ford Jr.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's looking over at the plant. And he goes, who do you think won World War II? He goes, Ford Motor Company won World War II. He says, we had bombers coming off the assembly line over here at this plant. He's, we're going to now go to war against Ferrari. Remember this? He goes, and so we're going to win at Le Mans, and I'm going to be there to bury that guy, you know, under the finish line. Remember this?
Yeah, I'm paraphrasing. That's actually a good movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And he did. The first year they went in, it was terrible. All the cars fell apart.
Burn them down.
Oh, yeah. But next year, boy, they came in first, second, and third.
That Ford GT is a heck of a car. Still is. Every time they come out with it every year.
They put that 427 in it.
Yeah.
They said, can you get that engine in that car fit? He goes, we already did. You know, and then pretty soon they banned it because the displacement was too big.
Yep.
Because it was dominating Le Mans.
But they started coming in with restrictions as far as how big the motors could be and everything.
But when they had that 427 in there, that thing would go now. That car was fast. I mean, it was over 200 miles, 220 miles in the straightaway, they said in that one.
That's nuts for back then.
Oh, back in the 60s.
Nuts.
220 miles an hour. And the guy goes, it could be faster.
faster than that. I mean, I think that one last Bugatti pushed like 282 on the track. The problem is that at that threshold of 300 they found, nobody really wants to go past that because almost everything goes airborne, even with all the aero you want. It's 300 miles an hour.
What they found out, one driver was killed in one of those.
With the Mercedes CLK GTR.
Yeah, and also in that.
Well, he didn't get killed, but he almost did.
GT40. He got killed. And, you know, the guy who actually got second place at Le Mans just won. And what happened is they found out that the rear lip acted like an airfoil, and it started causing lift at a certain speed.
Yeah.
And it actually made it come up in the air. And so they had to redesign all that because it's like an airplane. When you fly an airplane, it's got a wing that's kind of shaped like this, okay? And so you think, well, when you're going down the highway and you put your hand out the window, you can feel your hand get pushed up by the air underneath. You think, well, that's pretty cool. It's called the Bernoulli principle. But the problem is that doesn't create the maximum lift on the airplane. Because of the curvature of the wing, it creates a vacuum above the wing, which sucks the plane up into the air. The primary lift on an aircraft from the top of the wing, not the bottom of the wing, just in case you guys were ever aviators. And what's interesting about that is the same thing happens with cars.
Yep.
If you don't have it just exactly right, it'll create vacuum on top, and it'll pull the car up in the air and wants to go airborne.
Well, and that's why, if you guys have seen that newer GT3 RS that Porsche came out with a couple years ago, it has insane amount of active aero in it that moves all the way from under the car, around the radiators, around the tires, the back, the movement on it. When you start running that types of speed and you want to keep a car glued to the ground, like you said, the problem is if the aero isn't designed right, it starts acting as lift after a certain speed, and so that's why it's gotten crazy. But yeah, Ford, they did some great stuff back in the day with that, and I really hope we can get some manufacturing back into the United States.
That was funny because when I took my pilot exam, the oral portion of the exam, he asked me, he goes, tell me how the wing creates lift. I said, oh, we're talking the Bernoulli principle. About the curvature of the wing creating a vacuum. He goes, done. Question, next question.
Next question. Yeah.
I was going to go into micro detail with it. He goes, no, you know the answer to that one.
That's funny.
So that was good. What's your next story?
Yeah, this is also interesting now, too. The Trump administration is proposing a $12 billion education budget cut. You know, I thought we were getting rid of the Department of Education.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
What happened to that?
That's why I'm coming up bad. I knew that was going to be a flim-flam fairy tale just because it has become so embedded. The biggest thing that I hope we can reach a point to, and this is my overall goal, because getting rid of it's probably never going to happen, is getting the Department of Education scaled way down from a basis federal agency and letting states pretty much do what they need to do. And maybe the Department of Education oversees stuff mildly. These guys have gotten too big for their britches. When you start coming in from a federal agency and dictating how all children are all supposed to receive and retain information across the entire country, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, the problem is they can't get rid of it because they do tell these children exactly what they're supposed to do. And they do program them through a theta brainwave state. And so they've been doing this now since the Frankfurt School came into existence 100 years ago. And what they're doing, basically, they're saying, hey, we're not going to give that power away against these children.
Give me your youth and I'll give you the country.
Mm-hmm. Give me 20. Give me the youth of 20 years, and I've got it done.
This is Hitler said. Mm-hmm. I'm not quoting him positively on that.
Well, that wasn't exactly what he said.
Yeah, there's a loose quote. So getting rid of the Department of Education, great idea. Is it going to happen with how embedded these individuals are? I don't know. But they're cutting $12 billion. But the truth about it is when I was looking at it, the Department of Education, the amount of money they receive, $18 or $12 billion is going to be just a drop in the bucket with this stuff.
Yep.
So, hey, you know, that's great, cool. But, you know, it's funny. Doge came in and started just macheting stuff down. And all of a sudden, man, that has just – they're saying, well, now that Elon Musk is here, Doge is still going to operate. It's still going to be an agency. It's still going to do all this
Elon's
stuff.
Elon's back way off on Trump now, by the way.
I saw that, too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he basically – well, the issue that I said – I told you guys this. When you start, you know, throwing stuff out there, granted, I mean, he may have some valid points –
But when you're biting the hand that feeds you with tariffs and with rebates
and your grants, your little federal grants for all your EV vehicles that nobody wants.
Well, the thing about it is the whole thing with Tesla is a concept that is not ready to be here yet. And they have the technology at this point to recharge those batteries from the ecosystem.
They do. That's the problem. They won't release that because they don't. See, the thing is, if they have the ability to put that technology out there and you can actually have the batteries charge themselves from the atmospheric electricity, which is what Nikola Tesla figured out how to do, that technology is there. You're not relying on the power grid anymore. You're not relying on charging stations
anymore.
That's
exactly right. And this is what happened with Tesla and happened with J.P. Morgan with the Wharton-Cliff Power. He's going to give everybody free electricity, and that boy had to have more free air to breathe.
If you came out and you said we've developed an EV that's able to recharge itself as you drive indefinitely and it never has to be charged, I would actually probably jump on that bandwagon, even though it's still electrical and they can monitor it.
I would ask one question. How long do the batteries last?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We have the Edison batteries that can last over 100 years.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean you can put Edison batteries in that car and have them last 100 years to recharge
themselves?
Yeah.
So you actually would never have to buy another vehicle, just put new tires on it?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty cool.
Maybe do some new electrolyte solution. No. We got to make sure lithium ion batteries cook off after 10 years. We're not going to have any repeat customers. Nobody's going to buy new vehicles anymore. The battery's got to cook off. Depreciation has to go all the way to flat zero. Cars would be worthless. And we got to figure out where to dump all the batteries in a landfill.
Here's a question for you.
Okay.
I got this article. Just came up. Cardio before or after weights? New research might finally have the answer. Fitness enthusiasts have debated the question for decades. Is it better to do cardio before or after lifting weights? Until recently, the answer has been largely down to preference, with some enjoying a jog to warm up before hitting the weights, while others believe lifting weights first is better for burning fat. According to the study, the order of your workout does significantly affect how much fat you lose. Participants who performed weight training before cardio lost significantly more fat and became more physically active throughout the day than those who did cardio first. Now, that's interesting. A lot of times we're taught to do fasting cardio before we work out. The researchers recruited 45 young men ages 18 to 30 who were classified as obese. The researchers split participants into three groups for 12 weeks. One group was a control group, and the other ones basically were doing the different exercise regimes. The other two groups exercised for 60 minutes three times a week. Participants were also given sports watches to objectively track daily movements. This helped the researchers avoid the reliance on self-reporting, which is inaccurate. In other words, they were wearing a watch. Both exercise groups followed identical training programs, differing only in exercise sequence. Strength training involved actual weights, with participants performing exercises such as bench press, deadlift, bicep curl, and squat. The cardio sessions involved 30 minutes of stationary cycling. Participants of both groups experienced improvements in their cardiovascular fitness. Specifically, they lost fat while gaining less muscle mass. But the real difference emerged when it came to fat loss and muscle performance. Participants who lifted weights first experienced significantly greater reductions in overall body fat and visceral fat, the type of fat strongly linked to heart disease. They also increased their daily step count by approximately 3,500 steps compared to the other 1,600 steps. Why exercise sequence matters? Okay, here's it says the reason behind these findings is tied to how your body uses energy. Resistance training depletes muscle glycogen stores.
Yep, there you go.
You're pre-exhausting your muscles. The sugar that is stored in the muscle, which acts as your body's quick access to fuel. Imagine glycogen as the petrol in your car's fuel tank. When you lift weights first, you effectively drain this fuel tank, forcing your body to switch energy forces and start to burn fat. When glycogen stores are low, when you transition to cardio, your body must rely more heavily on fat reserves for energy, releasing a hormone called glucagon.
There you go.
This recent study findings aligned with broader research and things that I've done in the past. Now, here's what I've learned as far as the maximum ways to burn body fat. Incorporate the resistance training with your cardio. In other words, do supersets.
Yep. That helps, too. That really
helps.
It's
difficult in a public gym because people want to jump in front of you on the machine that you're supersetting with. In other words, have like two or three machines go back and forth with no rest. And what happens is you pre-exhaust the muscles. You burn through the glucose. Then you have to start releasing glucagon to start burning fat. And the best shape I was ever in my entire life, I was doing that. I was doing circuit training and working with going to failure, and I wasn't doing any cardio at all. But after 15 minutes of doing that, you're soaking wet with sweat.
Yeah, and the one thing to add on that, what you said earlier, talking about fasted cardio, I never do fasted cardio and then work out afterwards. Never. Never, 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 never. Your workouts will suck. They really will. You'll have no energy at all because you have no glycogen. You're burned out. Fasted cardio is designed to be done first thing in the morning on an empty stomach with fasted cardio because, again, your glycogen is depleted. Then later on, I will train in the afternoon as far as – and then that's the way I always run it. And you're exactly right. If you do a lot of cardio before you work out, your workouts just are not that good. Now, you could do something to warm up, something like a leg day. You want to warm up your knees, your hips, your ankles, your joints. That's a great idea. But doing an enormous amount of cardio and then trying to have heavy weightlifting, it doesn't work. You're better to do weightlifting, circuit training, like you said, or weightlift, and then do cardio afterwards. It's almost like an afterburn effect, they call it. So that's a very effective thing you can do. And then also, too, you can throw in the ProCut Core and the cinnamon extract with your meals.
Oh, that's a great
idea.
And
that'll really get your metabolism
and the HGH stimulate.
That's through the workout. And if you get your blood work done and you're a little sluggish on your T3 or thyroid hormone, you can throw in the thyroid support, which will kickstart your thyroid through the roof. I can't take that product very often. It'll make me start losing weight. But that is because especially if you eat really clean, but that thyroid supplement, a lot of people don't address that. Everybody's like, I want to take caffeine. I want to do a fat burner. That's good and great in some cases, like the ProCut Corey has a great formula for that, but sometimes you need to address your thyroid health because if you've eaten a lot of bread, a lot of bromine, if you had a lot of fluoride, if you had a lot of chlorine in the past, it can really decrease the activity of T3 production in the thyroid, and that is directly affected at burning body fat and maintaining metabolism.
Something else that really affects the thyroid are the halogens, fluoride and chlorine.
Yeah. That's why I brought those up.
Yeah, you've got to get off that and the bromine from the doggone breads.
Bread, processed bread.
Because the thyroid thinks that stuff's all iodine because they're all halogens.
Correct.
It absorbs it. And so the thyroid starts to downregulate and stops producing thyroxin and other things that help to burn body fat. And so you have to get off of the chlorine, the fluorine, and the bromine, which means you don't drink fluoride water, you don't drink chlorinated water, and you don't ever touch bread, period. And that's one of the things that Kennedy's looking at of pulling out of the doggone cycle as far as with the bread products in the United States is the bromine and the bromide because it's so bad on the thyroid. That's why so many people start eating bread. They start gaining weight like crazy.
Yeah.
And then they continue to drink all this fluorinated water, and they keep gaining weight, and they keep drinking chlorinated water, and they keep gaining weight. And they're going, we don't understand why we're gaining all this weight. Because you're messing with the thyroid. So you're right, Austin. Take the thyroid support, give it a good kickstart, and then make sure you cut the other junk out of your diet.
You'll be shocked on what your body starts doing. Because I've had people say, they're going, man, I'm stuck. I can't burn any body fat. I'm eating really clean. And I'm like, okay, well, how's your thyroid running? What's your blood work say? Majority of the time, I'm like, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I said, if your T3 levels are a little out of range, even if they're off just a bit, or even if they're getting in normal range and you want to really ramp it up, the thyroid support will kickstart it. Because I remember I was running it occasionally. A lot of times I will experiment with my products, just to let you guys know this, before I do blood work. I've done it with a multiple powder, which one time.
You did it with the B12 too?
Yeah, I did it with the B12. The multiple powder was nuts. I did it one time with multiple powder. I woke up, fasted blood work. Then I took two scoops of the multiple on an empty stomach, and my B12 levels on my blood work was literally off the chart. It was the extreme level, which, by the way, B12 is water soluble. There's no extreme level with it, but on the reference range, it was. And I had a physician look at it and I was, dude, how did you get your B12? I've literally done blood work after B12 injections, and I can't get my B12 up this high. I'm like, because you're not taking the right stuff. B12 and our methylcobalamin
multiple powder.
Yeah.
That product's amazing.
It shoots to the roof. The same thing with thyroid support. I've run thyroid support a week up into my blood work, and my T3 level's insane. It's not bad as far as it's too high, but it's through the roof. And I start sweating all the time, burning body fat.
Well, no, it'll do it. I remember when I broke my left foot.
Yeah.
I broke my fifth metatarsal, messing on the roof of the house.
Yeah.
Don't start on me about getting on the roof, okay? I have heard that for years now. Why are you on the roof? Don't. It just doesn't matter.
Sometimes I like to get on the roof.
Maintenance. Why I was on the roof. And it was funny.
Overwatch.
Because they told me, they said, you're going to have to get this thing screwed together. Now, yeah. It wasn't separated, but we were just not going to heal.
Yeah.
I said, no, you know, here. What's the old saying? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. Watch this. This is what you did.
And I got on the, I started taking 6 scoops of the multiple powder today, and bingo, wham, it was fixed. Yeah. And I've got no problems with that foot at all, or that fifth metatarsal. So I'm not making claims here. What I'm saying that if you don't have the right nutrients, your bones can't heal quickly. They can't.
Yeah, and that's like you see some – like you, I always tell younger guys, especially when they're teenagers, I said, you got to be hammering the food, clean food right now if you're weight training, you're trying to put on weight. I had kids come to me before, and they're 16, 17 years old. I can't put on any weight. I'm exercising. I'm like, what do you – why are you looking for some chicken nuggets and a protein shake? What else? Well, I don't know. I eat like a sandwich. Your body can't grow muscle tissue unless it has the raw ingredients. It can't do it. If you're trying to grow, if you're trying to get big, you've got to eat. Depending on what size you're trying to get to, how much your goals are, it doesn't matter. You've got to eat. It's got to be clean food.
You have to have calories.
You have to have
calories,
extra calories.
Nutrients.
Yes. You're either in basically a deficit or you're in a glut, and you've got to make sure you have enough overage on your body to be able to expend energy and also grow muscle tissue at the same time.
If you want to get big. If you want to get strong.
Even if you're trying to stay lean and strong, you got enough protein.
You're getting bigger, stronger, faster. That's what I always make sure I have enough protein. The other day your kids came over. And I boiled 24
eggs. You boiled 24 eggs.
Did I? 24 eggs. Within 24 hours, all 24 eggs were gone.
It's so funny. The timing, because you got to boil eggs very specifically.
This is funny.
He didn't put a clock on. So I'm running. I'm trying to get Stetson a diaper.
I'm on the front porch on the phone.
He's on the phone. I got to get Stetson a diaper. Stetson's running around. I think he grabbed another box of purple sticks and was throwing them to the wind. I don't know why he likes those. Anyways, I digress. I run in the kitchen. I'm like, dude, the pull pot's boiling. I'm like, how long have you been on here? I don't know. Pull them off.
I think about 7 minutes.
They were perfect. Perfect. Don't overcook your boiled eggs.
Yeah, well, those turned out really good. And all 24 were gone in 24 hours. So the kids came over. Well, They had egg salad sandwiches.
Yeah, we got some bread. No bromine, by the way. All natural, organic, and that was actually good. I don't eat bread, but that was egg salad sandwich. It was good. I don't know how it was topping.
The next day, the kids, we had some more eggs left, and they came over to go swimming. And I said, "Did you want another one of these egg salad sandwiches?" Yes. And so you give them like an egg salad sandwich, like 4 eggs on it. You know, then they go through it, boy.
And that's one thing I have found: eggs at nighttime really help increase healthy sleep, especially if you take it with the total rest of melatonin.
You did that last night. You came over. So you
that's when I like a baby. Yeah. I ate eggs. And so I found this in my own, this is my own personal opinion. I'm not telling you to do this or don't do it, but it does work for a lot of people. When you eat eggs, they have no carbohydrates in them. It's all protein and fat. Mm-hmm. You get no insulin spike at all. Stable. If I eat junk food, because I've eaten ice cream before bed, I don't have a halo. I'm not going to act like I haven't eaten ice cream before bed. It messes up my blood sugar.
I can't sleep with ice cream.
No, what happens is, even if it's not just like vanilla, what happens is all night, like 2, 3, 4 times, I wake up, I go back to sleep, I wake up and go back to sleep. And I've done it now, and I actually experimented one time with it, eggs, ice cream, just, you know, fun experiment. Every time on ice cream, cannot sleep. Eggs, out like a light. So little snippet, look at your diet and look what you're eating and look at the time you're eating it before bed. Throw in some of the total rest of melatonin, I guarantee you get a good night's sleep because you got to recover. You got to rest.
If you don't rest, you don't get the nutrients, your body can't recover, it won't grow, and it won't stay healthy.
That's exactly right. Okay?
That's why they're called degenerative diseases. Yep. Heart disease, diabetes, and cancer are all degenerative diseases. Your body starts to degenerate. So that's why you have to have the proper amount of nutrients and nutrient density in your diet every single day. By the way, I love you guys. Thank you for listening today. I hope we covered some good stuff on exercise for you. You guys are amazing. I had the opportunity to pray for you again. And I love you guys. And thank you for supporting Health Masters. If it wasn't for you guys being here with us, we simply wouldn't be here every day. So thank you again for your support, for being part of our family.
Yeah, we wouldn't be here. So I appreciate everything. I'll be on the Hagman Show tonight. Me and Doug got a bunch of stuff we're going to be covering about the current state of affairs that are happening. So be sure to tune into that. Email us if you have any questions. We respond to you guys pretty quick. Thank you for being patient with some of the shipping. The joint rebuilding formula is about a 2-day delay on it. I apologize for that. That's all out now. All orders are caught up. I had a couple orders like 2 or 3 days behind with the joint rebuilding because their shipment got delayed. It was supposed to be here last week. It got here on Monday. Those are all out. Call us if you got any questions, my friends. Thank you for the support. Be sure to check out the D3 on Product of the Week. That'll be going up later on today. Have a great evening, my friends. I appreciate it.
Love you guys. We'll